welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, July 26, 2024. Some leprosy patients in Zara County of Western Equatorial State say they need urgent intervention from health experts.
The main challenge is because there's no fund to run that project. That is the challenge.
And some relatives of South Sudan's basketball players blow their own horns.
I'm very excited. I'm the family. In fact, myself, I'm leaving from Juba here to join them. And the siblings, four of them actually, they are leaving Australia today and they are going to Paris. So I'm very excited, not for Quine alone, but for entire South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some South Sudanese who fled Sudan's conflict say hunger is forcing some of them to return to Sudan in search of better living conditions. The UN Refugee Agency says it is aware of the move but cannot interfere with people's choices. Mamer Abraham Kwart reports from VOA from Malakal.
Some South Sudanese at Rang's transit centers say they received only a one-time cash assistance of 14,000 South Sudan pounds since they arrived in South Sudan. They say hunger is forcing them to make undesirable decisions. 65-year-old Ayul Adiang Ajak, a mother of four who lives in Rang's transit center 1, says her sister returned to Sudan because of lack of support in Rang.
She went back to Rabek because her previous residence is better than the camp. Although they received 14,000 South Sudanese pounds selling out their clothes to survive, life was still difficult due to lack of assistance. So she opted to return to Rabek, though there are still rumors of imminent attacks.
51-year-old Dut Ngordeng, her father of seven, says it's hard for him to integrate into the South Sudanese communities due to lack of land, shelters, and jobs. He appeals to the government of South Sudan to support families returning from Sudan.
It is difficult to integrate into community because it needs someone to have a land, shelter, and many things, including a job. I feel that I am better than other people. There are people who are vulnerable, like elderly people, without caregivers to support them and cannot even get something to eat. I urge the government to stand with its citizens.
Silva Alkebe, UN's interagency coordinator in Rang, says UNHCR is aware of the voluntary returns to Sudan. She says some families have returned to safe places in Sudan where their relatives live. She says the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, does not interfere with people's choices.
We know that there is returnee and refugee who goes back to Sudan. And at the end, if they want to go by themselves, we don't stop them. It's not our role and it's voluntary return. It's up to them. We don't intervene there. It's not massive number. We are aware of that. But again, if people decide to go back by themselves, because also many of them, they have family there. They go back to the area which is more safe, or they, let's say we all know that during Eid or Ramadan, they went and come back. So for that, we don't stop them and we are not in position to tell them don't go. It's their choice.
On April 15, 2023, conflict erupted in Khartoum between the Sudan Armed Forces and paramilitary rapid support forces. UNHCR says South Sudan is receiving the highest number of refugees and returnees fleeing the conflict in Sudan. Early last week, the nonprofit group Crisis 24 reported that Sudan's government warned of fresh clashes in Khartoum, Omdurman, Sennar State, South Kordofan State, Al Jazeera, and the Darfur region. The UN says an estimated 7.3 million people have been internally displaced since mid-April 2023, including those who experienced secondary displacement. For VOA News, I am Amer Abraham Kwart, reporting from Malakal, Upper Nile State.
From From Malakal, we move to Western Equatoria State, where officials at the Catholic Church St. Teresa Hospital in Zara County of Western Equatoria State allege the state and national governments have neglected leprosy patients in some parts of the state. But health officials in the state say lack of funds is to blame for the government's slow response. For VOA News, Matthias Samuel reports from Yambio.
Michael Bazia is the focal person at St. Teresa Mission Hospital in Zara County for leprosy patients. He says his office registered 40 leprosy cases during outreach campaign programs in areas of Maridi and Zara counties of Western Equatoria State. He says the hospital is treating 9 cases of leprosy, adding that there are more cases in the other parts of the state.
There are many cases in the community which you could not reach due to lack of transport. It seems leprosy is a negligence disease because there is no support from the government for leprosy cases like other diseases.
He says the hospital is treating 9 cases of leprosy, adding that there are more cases in the other parts of the state.
Government should contribute and train many people also. There should be a training. There should be a treatment center also like Nzara, more especially places like Maridi. Last year we have many cases from Maridi.
World Health Organization says leprosy is an age-old disease and is described in the literature of ancient civilization. It is chronic infectious disease which is caused by a type of bacteria called Mycobacterium leprea. The disease affects the skin, the peripheral nerves, mucosa of the upper respiratory tract, and the eyes. Leprosy is curable, and treatment in the early stages can prevent disability. World Health Organization says, apart from the physical deformity, persons affected by leprosy also face stigmatization and discrimination. Susanna Ambia is a 25-year young lady living with a disability caused by leprosy. She says she faces many challenges.
What is lacking is what to sleep on, like the mattress, bed sheets, because I want to have a long life in the community. I'm appealing to the people who can support us with some money, food, stuffs like rice, maybe beans. Someone like me can cook. It will sustain our lives.
James Abdallah Arona, Western Equatoria State Minister of Health, says the ministry lacks resources to respond to the needs of the leprosy patients across the state.
But the main challenge is because there is no fund to run that project. That is the challenge. The case of fund to facilitate, to make more mobilization so that the people will come at the centers is the great challenge. That is why the case of leprosy is not currently going the same like HIV and TB. It needs a responsible person that can take that responsibility to go direct to the Buma, Payam level to mobilize and take accurate data that can feed the ministry.
He says his ministry will discuss plans for 2024 to 2027 healthy transformation projects and seek support from partners in South Sudan to address health challenges facing the state. Mbikoyo Martin Tartizio works with the non-profit Catholic Actions in Zara. He says his office registered about 38 leprosy patients who are vulnerable.
The number of people affected by leprosy here in Zara is many, but there is no support that they are getting. They are living a very difficult life.
World Health Organization says if left untreated, leprosy can lead to nerve damage, which affects the eyes, leading to muscle weakness and a loss of feeling in the arms and legs. For VOA News, I am Matthias Samuel Timatio, reporting in Yambio, Western Equatoria State.
Billy billions of dollars, millions of tourists, and thousands of athletes and security forces. Those are some of the numbers behind the Paris Olympic, which kick off Friday evening with a spectacular ceremony planned for the Serene River. The city's first Olympic Games in a century faced some formidable roadblocks in the run-up, from political upheaval, bad weather, to threats of COVID and strike action. Lisa Brandt has more from the capital.
This is not the Paris that many tourists and Parisians are familiar with. Key sites temporarily inaccessible, except for those with special passes. Roughly 15 million visitors and more than 10,000 athletes are expected for these games, but many Parisians have already left on holiday. Traditional tourists are staying away. Organizers hope these Olympics will be unforgettable. They've promised the most environmentally friendly games ever. Friday's Seine River ceremony, gathering athletes, political leaders, and global stars, will be the first ever outside a stadium. French President Emmanuel Macron.
I can tell you that at the very beginning, it seemed to be a crazy and not very serious idea. But we decided that it was the right moment to deliver this crazy idea and to make it real.
Paris Deputy Mayor Lamia Alarage says Paris is ready. They're impatient. The city has been preparing for them for years, she adds. There have been challenges along the way. The country has a caretaker government after inconclusive legislative elections. It wasn't certain whether the Seine River could host swimming events despite a $1.5 billion cleanup. But last week, Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo took the plunge. There have been fears of an uptick of COVID-19 that already hit the Tour de France and threats of strike action. Tens of thousands of security forces are patrolling the streets, skies, and river. Some incidents have already taken place. The conflicts in Gaza and Ukraine also shadow the games, including this early soccer match. The French themselves have mixed feelings about these Olympics. Analyst Blanche Leridon at the Institut Montaigne says certain people are more concerned about what's happening politically or in terms of their purchasing power or security. Others are enthusiastic. But in Paris, she says, the majority are indifferent or exasperated by the constraints, but not everyone. Parisian Juko Istolainen says he's very proud to have the games here. Paris authorities fought to host them for a long time. Despite months of preparation, there's still one big unknown, the weather. Organizers are hoping it won't rain on the opening ceremony. Lisa Bryant, VOA News, Paris.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, relatives of the players in South Sudan's men's national basketball team speak out. Find out why after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Relatives of South Sudan's Olympic basketball players are excited to watch them play in Paris. Ngor Kwany, the father of Kwany Kwany, says he can't wait to see his son in the world-class games. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Thousands of supporters of South Sudan's national basketball team, nicknamed the Bright Stars, are expected to be glued to TVs to watch their first Olympic game on Sunday against Puerto Rico. South Sudan also will face the United States and Serbia in Group C. Relatives of some of the basketball players say they can't wait to see their own in action. Ngor Ngor Kwany, father of the captain of the team, Kwany Kwany, says he will be attending the games in person to share his son and the rest of the entire team.
I'm very excited. I'm the family. In fact, myself, I'm leaving from Juba here to join them. And his siblings, four of them actually, they are leaving Australia today. and they are going to Paris. So I'm very excited, not for Quine alone, but for entire South Sudan, because the basketball have lifted the spirits of many young people in South Sudan. So it's a great mission for somebody like me, who is the father of a captain, to be there and support them.
Ngor says Kwan was raised by his mother in the Kakuma refugee camp in northern Kenya before migrating for his settlement in Australia 24 years ago.
Kwan has been a very active boy since he was a child. He got interested in basketball, and credit go to the mother and the extended family that were in Australia with him, because it's not easy waking up early in the morning with the weather there. His interest has been in basketball since childhood.
The South Sudan Basketball Federation was established in May 2011 and became a member of FIBA, International Basketball's governing body, in December 2013. The talents of the Bright Stars were noticed during the 2023 FIBA World Cup in Manila, Philippines. Paul Grang, uncle to Bulwach Kwol, another South Sudan player, says the team has raised patriotism in South Sudan and he is going to watch his nephew play.
I watched the friendly match between the U.S. and the South Sudan. I have a relative in the team, and the patriotism that my people have in the team. I have known him since he was born, because the father and I, we are close relatives. We are close cousins. From our family, we are always people with such talents. So he's not the first. There have been other people ahead of him.
Ngor Kwan's father, who was a rebel of the Sudan People's Liberation Army and fought for South Sudan's independence, says he will be among the cheering fans.
What we always do, like what we did at Manila, when our team get the balls, we really support them. We shout a lot. And when the ball is taken from them by the other team, we shout, and we always shout a lot, and we say, reverse, reverse, reverse. And that one give them the energy that they need, and they always go and grab the balls and take it back. So we are going to be crazy, shouting our lungs out.
It is not yet clear if President Salva Kiir will attend the Olympic Games. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
From sports, we go to politics, where President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris met separately with Israel's leader Thursday at the White House as a sensitive moment in the Gaza conflict colluded with the unprecedented moment in American politics. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu also plans to meet on Friday with former President Donald Trump. VOA White House correspondent Anita Powell reports from Washington.
U.S. President Joe Biden on Thursday brought Israel's leader into the calm eye of America's political storm as the two tried to hash out a lasting peace to silence the suffering in Gaza. Biden said little.
Well, welcome back, Mr. Prime Minister. We got a lot to talk about. I think we should get to it.
But Vice President Kamala Harris took a firm tone after her own meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hours later, centering on the horror experienced by the people of Gaza. She urged Israel to take the deal on the table to end the fighting and free the hostages.
I also expressed with the Prime Minister my serious concern about the scale of human suffering in Gaza, including the death of far too many innocent civilians. And I made clear my serious concern about the dire humanitarian situation there, with over 2 million people facing high levels of food insecurity and 500,000 people facing catastrophic levels of acute food insecurity. What has happened in Gaza over the past 9 months is devastating.
Her words were amplified by protesters outside the White House on Thursday who object to the Israeli military's conduct in Gaza and want Biden to dial back his support. The White House said the meeting with Biden was productive but didn't cite any breakthroughs.
This was a good discussion with the Prime Minister and his team. The President had a chance to lay out his concerns about where we are on the ceasefire deal and getting us to conclusion on that, as well as to talk about a range of other issues, Iran's destabilizing activities, the tensions at the blue line up with Lebanon, the need for more humanitarian assistance getting to the people of Gaza. There was a lot on the agenda.
On Friday, Netanyahu meets with Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. This trio of talks is obviously a delicate political balancing act for the Israeli leader. But some pro-Israeli analysts argue that Netanyahu's defiance of Washington has garnered results.
There's more likelihood of a ceasefire now than there was a couple of months ago before Israel went into Rafah. Vice President Harris told them they shouldn't go in or there'll be consequences. Biden didn't want them to go in. It turned out actually to be a pretty successful mission. They haven't finished Rafah, but they were able to quickly move a lot of the Palestinian civilians into other areas so the Israeli military, could fight Hamas.
Netanyahu's detractors, both outside and inside Congress, disagree. And as they like to remind the future president, whoever he or she will be, they have a say, too. Anita Powell, VOA News, Washington.
Still in politics, who will she pick? That's the big political question in America after President Joe Biden dropped his re-election bid and Vice President Kamala Harris became the likely Democratic nominee. The selection in question is Harris' running mate against Republican Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. VOA's national correspondent Steve Harmon is at the White House and has the report.
So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
Kamala Harris, for the time being, campaigning solo for president. Among those under consideration to join her as the party's vice presidential candidate are a bunch of governors, including Roy Cooper of North Carolina, a Democrat who won twice when his state chose Republican Donald Trump for president, and Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, which both parties consider a must-win state in November. Then there's an astronaut who became a U.S. senator, Arizona's Mark Kelly. With the Democratic National Convention just weeks away, it will be a rushed process, notes Brookings Institution senior fellow William Galston.
The danger of an accelerated process is that things will be overlooked, mistakes will be made that a more leisurely process would have prevented. But she has no choice. She has to do it fast and get it right.
There's no science to getting it right. It's about selecting someone who can attract the most votes, especially in the handful of swing states likely to determine the outcome.
Ready, get set, go.
I'm ready, go.
That may mean focusing on geography rather than personality. Jay Chen is a Democratic Party delegate and political activist in California.
I think someone from the Midwest or even from the South would be a good choice. Andy Beshear, he's a governor from Kentucky. I think he would make a good choice. We want to make sure that we're balancing out the ticket because we have someone from California.
That someone from California is Kamala Harris. And since political considerations rule out the presidential and vice presidential candidates coming from the same state, that rules out Governor Gavin Newsom, widely expected to be a presidential candidate in a future election. What about two women on the ticket? Gretchen Whitmer is governor of the important swing state of Michigan, but does not appear keen to make history that way.
I am not leaving Michigan. I'm proud to be the governor of Michigan. I have been consistent. I know everyone is always suspicious and asking this question over and over again. I know you're doing your job. I'm not going anywhere.
Popularity as a governor or success in Congress does not guarantee making a big splash as a running mate, notes the author of two books about the vice presidency, Joel K. Goldstein.
Are they ready to shine on the national stage? Which is quite different than running in one state or one district.
The second in command is also ideally someone voters will be comfortable with, just a heartbeat away from the presidency. Steve Herman, VOA News, at the White House.
It's time for us to listen to you and hear what you think about this show, what we should do better and what we should avoid. We start with a listener who recorded himself.
Hello, VOA. This is Jet. I just want to appreciate your time, or appreciate your work, and pray that God will continue to give you more strength. I'm just having a concern that I want to say out on the health issue as the Minister of Health and as staffs working with the Minister of Health. I am most disappointed based on what the Minister of Health is doing concerning the number of staffs that have been working in the facilities.
And Martin Manuel Yugul writes, hello, VOA. Kindly allow me to convey my best wishes for our team in the upcoming Paris Olympic Games. South Sudan basketball team shall win and continue to win in God's name. He concludes by saying, amen. Samuel Remo in Yei writes, hi, John Tanz. A fire breakout at Dar es Salaam market in Yei has caused chain of businesses in the county to collapse because many traders have lost their capital. It requires quick intervention to support them to do their normal activities as usual. We consumers are unable to buy food direct from distributors with abnormal prices. Thanks. Dut Majok Kurwai writes, hello, VOA. I'm from Rumbek. The government of South Sudan should pay attention to public health departments to provide medicine across the South Sudan because malaria is killing many children and pregnant mothers. Lack of payment could not allow parents to treat their children. Peter Gadquot writes, hello, VOA. I'm a student at University of Juba. I would like to comment on the decision taken by U.S. Democrats to endorse a female presidential candidate. That decision is actually a loss of seat by the U.S. Democratic Party because this 21st century is not ready for female president in the United States to tackle the world's ongoing disasters like what is going on in Middle East, Ukraine, Sudan, Yemen, Congo, and the rest of the countries across the world. Sabri Khamis from Yambio writes, hello, Tanza and the team. Wednesday's night gunshots within Juba requires the government of Central Equatoria to clarify to the public what exactly went wrong, because the situation of that night was so scaring to many, and the government needs to really disarm this country because it's risky to the lives of the vulnerable. Comments on this segment does not represent the views of the Voice of America or the management of this program. We now leave you with a song, Roger Miller, by Congolese musician Pepe Kale. Listening to Pepe Kale and the song Roger Miller. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Tian Wang, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Oh,